Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. I have a sports trivia question for you.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Sure.
Okay. Who is Connor Joe?
Never heard of that name before.
Oh, well, that's okay. He's the Rocky starting first baseman tonight.
Well, there you go. Doesn't that just say it all right there?
He's the Rocky starting first baseman tonight. Name Alan Trejo ring a bell to you?
He's somewhere else in the lineup, is he not?
He is. Alan Trejo is the shortstop tonight, and he will be batting eighth in your Colorado Rockies starting lineup.
Connor Joe.
This is the lineup tonight. Tapia, I've heard of him. Connor Joe's in the two hole.
He's Korean, right?
I believe he is.
Yeah.
Charlie Blackman, we've heard of him. He's batting third. Ryan McMahon is batting in the cleanup spot. Josh Fuentes, better known as Nolan Arenado's cousin, is playing third base. Dom Nunez is your starting catcher. Jonathan Daza is your starting center fielder, batting in the seven hole, and then Alan Trejo is your shortstop. And starting tonight is Chichai Gonzalez, or as he should be called, Chichi Gonzalez, but Les Nessman would call him Chichai Gonzalez.
Although Les would also mess up the last name somehow, because of course it wasn't just that he messed up the Chichi part of Chichi Rodriguez, as they turned Rodriguez into Rodriguez. I guess it would be Chichai Gon. How do you mispronounce Gonzalez?
I don't know
how you'd screw that up.
Connor Joe sounds like a character on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Or it sounds like...
And he is going to be the starting first baseman tonight.
Or it sounds, sounds like his middle name should be I, or should begin with I. Like, if his middle name began with I, he could be Connor I. Joe.
No one should be more thrilled that Jeff Breidich is no longer with the organization than Bud Black. The crap he has given Black to throw out on the field is truly mind-boggling. This is a triple-A lineup they're putting out there tonight. Outside of Charlie, because of his history, being an all-star, Ryan McMahon's playing better. Fuentes, there's nothing special about him. Tapia, he's fine. Hitting 295, got four ding-dongs and 20 RBI. I mean,
he's a player, and you just wonder, okay, how long is it going to be until they move on from him? Because, unfortunately, the Rockies are kind of in this spotlight. As we've talked about, it's not just that they have to rebuild. It's that they haven't started rebuilding yet. Because
they have nothing to rebuild with.
Right. Their farm system is so tapped out at this point that they don't have assets. They have to start with the draft this summer and the international signing period, and then whatever they get for trading Trevor Story, and perhaps whatever they get for trading John Gray, because he continues to put up mostly good starts and is going to have some value on the market. They're at a point where it's like, okay, you're going to have to start rebuilding the farm system with what you get this summer, but then that's a start. Those are guys that are going to be at the lowest level. They're going to be 4 or 5 years away. This is going to be a very long slog for the Rockies.
Listen, we're halfway through the first segment already.
We can just keep going.
And we wanted to talk about Cortland Sutton and what he said about Drew Lock. We're going to get to that in the next segment.
This
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
I'm going to give you the at-bat leaders on this team.
Okay.
Guys who've had the most at-bats. McMahon leads the way with 140. Trevor Story has 133. Tapia has 132. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is Garrett Hampson is fourth, and he is hitting 236 with an on-base percentage under 300. Charlie Blackman's career has fallen off the table like a bowling ball. He is fifth. He is batting 226. Josh Fuentes, a regular starter in the lineup, he's hitting 204. And I haven't even gotten to Jonathan Daza, who actually is hitting 295. Dom Nunez, who's hitting barely over the Mendoza line, which is 205. Elias Diaz, how this guy is even on a major league roster. He's batting a .109.
Yeah.
Sam Hilliard, remember, he was supposed to be a breakout guy. Everybody was all excited about him. He's hitting a .108. And then tonight's starting shortstop. I said sharding. That's why you're laughing. I meant to say that's starting.
Well,
you know what?
That was a Freudian slip.
Well, you know what this team
of.
Feels like? This team feels like that.
It does.
You feel you feel like nothing's going to happen, and then boom, they lose again. You wind up crapping in your pants. So Alan Trejo is your starting shortstop, and he's checking in, thank goodness, with a .269 batting average with a single RBI.
Yeah.
That's who Jeff Breidich rolled out for all of us to enjoy. And I'm sorry if he continues to be my pinata, but he deserves it. Unfortunately, when I break that sucker open, there's no candy to enjoy.
But it's what we expected, right? I mean, that's once Arenado was traded and once they said, okay, we're basically not going to do anything. We're closing the wallets. This is what was going to happen. You knew this was going to be bad. I think and the fact is that this is a team that they're basically losing close to 2 out of 3 games, which means that over the course of the year, they're going to lose 100+. It's kind of as advertised. The thing that just gives you such despair is that when you look at other teams that kind of bottomed out like this, you could see some hope on the horizon. There is no hope on the horizon. Like I said earlier, they have to start restocking the low levels of the farm system. They have to start the rebuild. They haven't even done that.
You know, want to know how bad it's going to get? Because believe me, we have not hit rock bottom with this franchise
there
yet.
There probably are a couple more seasons like this.
Oh, no. I'm talking about
ahead.
I'm talking about this season. This season. Chon Gray has by far and away been their best pitcher. His ERA is 2.93, and he is going to be traded. Make no mistake about it. I don't know who's going to go first, Gray or Story, but both of them are going to go. There is a bright spot to the Rockies starting rotation, though, this year. Every guy who has been penciled into the starting rotation has pitched. There has been one spot start all season. One spot start. So everybody who's supposed to be starting, outside of Kyle Freeland, who, by the way, I understand is getting ready to eventually pitch sooner than later in AAA. Gomber, Marquez, Senzatella, and Chichi Gonzalez, who's on the bump tonight, all of them, every single one of them, have ERAs over 5. And for Chichi and Senzatella, they are a smidge away from 6. This rotation, and I hate to use this word, sucks. And there's just no other word to put it. There's no other way to put it. They stink. They are flat out bad.
It doesn't help them at all that they're faced with a situation where they feel like they have such pressure, basically, to deliver because the lineup isn't going to have much punch beyond Tapia being fine. Ryan McMahon's probably going
Marquez has been rotten. Yeah. He has been rotten for the amount of talent that he has. I know this is a stat that you love. What do you consider to be an average whip? And explain what a whip is.
Whip is walks and hits per innings pitch. So basically, this is base runners that you're allowing per inning.
Right.
And an acceptable whip is about 1.3, 1.35, you can get by.
Marquez is leading all the starters of the whip. And when I say leading, I mean dead last.
Yeah.
1.65. And how in the hell, and I've known this for a while, how in the hell is Yolish Chachin even in this lineup? Meaning a guy who's actually coming out of the pen for you. This guy's been washed up for years, but they brought him. Why not bring back Carlos Gonzalez? What's Jamie Moyer doing? He's only about 60. Maybe he can get a few innings out of him.
You know what's amazing? They have the worst whip in baseball, 1.508.
They have the worst pretty much everything in
but
baseball.
They're actually worse in whip on the road than at home. So much for the Coors Field disadvantage. They're better at home than on the road. Their whip is pushing towards 1.7.
Think Jordan Sheffield.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Jordan Sheffield is a pitcher on this roster. Is he Gary's cousin? I mean, I know some of these last names. Ben Bowden, is that Jim Bowden's kid? I'm joking when I say this.
You know that.
This lineup is not a who's who. It's a who's that. Know what? It's pathetic. What the rubble that Jeff Breidish left behind.
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about Daniel Bodd being the guy who was going to be the best in the bullpen?
His ERA is over 7.
It's a convenient ERA. It's 7.11. His whip is over 2. I mean, there's just nothing there.
And by the way, can I give you another guy who's going to likely get traded? There are going to be 3 guys who are traded.
It's going to be Trevor Story, John Gray.
And Michael Givens.
Yeah.
He's 31 years old. He's going to give some team some help. And his ERA is 2.63, so they'll give him away too.
He is probably the most reliable bullpen arm they have right now.
Right.
And there are so many teams that need bullpen help. Now the thing is, a bullpen arm isn't going to fetch you much. You're going to basically get a second tier prospect from somebody is going to kind of help fill your system. Maybe you get another potential reliever back in a couple who can be ready in a year or two. It's all what the Rockies need to do in terms of starting the rebuilding process is all about the return they get for John Gray and Trevor Story. And they need
They're not getting a lot for John Gray, I can promise you.
Well,
there's desperation
for good starting.
You're not going to get a lot for John Gray. And for Trevor Story, the only way you get something for him more significant is if the Rockies eat the rest of his salary. And maybe they can get a little bit more. From what I understand, the Rangers are looking for a shortstop. And the Yankees are looking for a shortstop. Currently, the Yankees have a shortstop who really hasn't panned out, and he is likely going to be the centerpiece of this deal with the Yankees if that's a deal that goes through. Are we done talking about these bozos?
They're trying hard. They're just, it's not a major league team right now.
No, it's not. I don't blame these kids. Lot of these guys should be in AAA.
Yeah, the thing, when you see the Rockies, like, the effort is there from this team. It's just, they're not very good. Most of these guys should be in Albuquerque right now.
I was talking to Les on the phone a couple days ago, and he said to me, are you talking about the Rockies? And I said, you know who the Rockies are? The Rockies are what the CU Buffs were with John Embry and Dan Hawkins. The only time we talked about the CU football team was when who was going to get fired.
Yeah.
That was the only reason to talk about them, because they were so stinking bad for all those years. They're good now. But I'm saying there was no reason to talk about CU football, because what were you going to say?
And the problem is with the Rockies, their farm system is so barren right now, you can't even talk about who's next. Pretty much everybody of value is up at the big club right now. They have to rebuild that. So they're going to go through a couple of years here where until they rebuild the farm system, there's nothing to discuss. At least by 23, maybe you're saying, okay, there's some interesting guys that are in the pipeline that are going to be the future of this club.
Yes.
But they have to find those guys to develop in the first place.
If they make a big trade and they get something back for Trevor Story, yes, we will talk about
that. Yes,
them.
We will.
But I have an unwritten rule in my head when it comes to producing shows. If you stink, you're not worth my time, and you're not worth the listener's time, and I'm not going to waste anybody's time talking about you. I just happen to see that Connor Joe, who I believe was the cousin of Billy Joe from the Beverly Hillbillies, but apparently he's the starting first baseman tonight. Coming up after the break, Cortland Sutton did a radio interview, and he had some interesting stuff to say about Drew Lock. You're going to want to hear that next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. You can also listen to us, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now to tell you about Dan McKenzie and McKenzie Law. I got together with Dan probably about 2-3 months ago. I knew that eventually I had to put together some sort of an estate plan, a living will. I talked to a lot of different attorneys who do this. And the guy I felt most comfortable with was Dan McKenzie. He explained everything. And I feel so much better now that this is done. I don't want stuff going to the courts. I want to make sure that I am the one making the decision on where everything goes if, God forbid, something happens to me tomorrow. And Andrew, sorry to disappoint you. You are not in my will, but if you're extra nice to me, maybe I'll leave you a dollar.
Extra nice, huh?
Extra.
So what happens if I'm only nice? Do I get 50 cents?
We'll work it in with inflation. And inflation, from what I understand, is going up, so you're probably looking at about 23 cents. With that, I highly recommend going with Dan. I know it sounds silly, but you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and you don't have any options when you're dead. And honestly, you don't have to have a lot of money to put together an estate plan or a will or a living will. If you have something, even anything, you don't want the courts deciding what to do. You want to make the decision on your own. That's why you should work with Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. Go to themckenziefirm.com. That's themckenziefirm.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Deshaun Hamilton was waived by the Broncos today. We'll talk about that move in the next segment on the show. And as you said to me just moments ago, and you said it off air, they tried to trade him. They tried to trade him. Before they waived him, and then they waived him, and now they're getting calls. We'll talk more about that in the next segment on the show. But let's get to this. Cortland Sutton did a radio interview recently and said this about Drew Lock. Drew's mind is on a different level when it comes to the game right now. You can tell that he is understanding the game even more. He is so close. Is this Cortland saying the right things, or do you really believe what he is saying?
I'll believe it when I see it on the field.
I have been told he has been there every day for offseason workouts. Every day.
A lot of guys, there have been a lot of guys who over the years were there every day, but you've got to see if it translates. And it's one thing to do the right thing and in the classroom, do the right thing, being there for workouts every day, and start learning perhaps a better way to kind of process things. It's another getting on the field at full speed with chaos around you. Do you revert to what's ingrained, or do you actually take what you've learned and kind of change the habits? And that's the question I have with Drew Lock. Is he going to revert to kind of what he was at Mizzou, what he has been so far with the Broncos, which is trying to kind of force things under duress? Or is this going to be a new Drew Lock? Until I see differently, I'm skeptical.
I'm going to make a parallel, and I'm not suggesting that Drew Lock is the same quarterback that Tim Tebow was. But this is where I'm going to draw this parallel. It seemed like every 7 or 8 weeks, there was a new story that Tim Tebow's working with a new quarterback coach. I don't know how many quarterbacks coaches that Tim Tebow worked with. And for all the time he spent working on his mechanics, when you've been playing a position as long as you have, like Tebow did at quarterback, like Locke does at quarterback, to your point, eventually, when chaos ensues, muscle memory kicks in, and all of that work goes out the window.
Yeah, it's just a human nature thing. And it's not just football, it's anything. And unless we have managed to successfully make that leap and kind of change the way we think and the way we react in the moment, like you said, muscle memory, you always kind of go back to what is ingrained. If Locke does that, then sky's the limit for him if he can do that. But that is That's really tough to do. And that's where my skepticism comes from. My skepticism doesn't come from the work that he puts in. The other thing also, you made a Tebow Lock comparison. There were times when Tebow worked hard but not smart.
Right.
I think Lock, to his credit, is working smart. He's seeking out Peyton Manning. Spending more time at the facility when he's able to, something that not a lot of guys are doing just yet.
Even with the
stuff post Juwan James.
I've asked you this before and I'll ask it again. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, what is Teddy Bridgewater?
What is he or what could he be? Like, what is he?
There is no what could he be.
I mean, he's a...
There is no what could he be for this reason alone.
Yeah.
He's been in the league long enough. We know what he is. Well, there's no more upside.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you consider an average quarterback?
5.
Okay, then he's 5. He is straight up average.
Okay.
He's an average starter. He was 17th of 33 in QBR last year.
Okay.
Literally average.
What is Drew Lock?
If 5 is average, he would be about 2.5.
Okay. So, if what Sutton says is correct, that his mind is on a different level when it comes to the game right now, and you can tell he's understanding the game even more and that he is close. This according to Courtland Sutton. What does that look like to you on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's a leap to get to... He makes that leap, but he leaps to average. He's 5. He's where Bridgewater is.
See, I think that if he has actually turned the corner, because I think he has more physical skills than Teddy Bridgewater. As you know, I'm not a big Bridgewater guy. It's not that he's a bad guy. I just think there's nothing special about his game. There's not one thing I could look at his game and say, wow, I like that. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He does turn the ball over. He doesn't have particularly great arm strength. He, as far as being mobile, honestly, I would say that Ben Roethlisberger is more mobile in the pocket than he is.
Well,
in this sense, I'm not talking.
Teddy averaged, I think, nearly six yards.
I'm not talking about running with the ball. I'm talking about extending plays. Ben Roethlisberger in his prime was the furthest thing from nimble, but he extended plays because he understood the pocket and he had pocket awareness to extend plays. I don't necessarily see that with Teddy Bridgewater either. I see with Drew Lock, if he had pocket awareness, I think he could extend plays more. Even now, he extends plays more. So let's say he has turned the corner. You think he beats out Bridgewater? Because I do.
He has to make a multi-level jump. That's the problem. Like, if he reaches the level of Bridgewater, what does that look like? Is it that he's doing more spectacular plays, but he's still giving the ball away at too high a rate? Because that's the thing. Teddy Bridgewater, in terms, when you take interceptions and fumbles, has one of the lowest giveaway rates in football over the last 4 years among quarterbacks. Drew Lock has one of the higher. He's basically in the third that has among the highest interception and fumble rates over that sample size. So that's the thing that is intriguing, because what fits for this Bronco team right now, and what do Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur want to see? Because they're trying to save their jobs. They're trying to have a fourth season. They're trying to get this thing turned around and get to where it can build somewhere. And Bridgewater being a low mistake quarterback might fit what they're trying to do better than Drew Lock, unless Drew Lock can get the giveaways out of his system. Remember, even last year when he played better, he was still kind of dancing on the edge. Like, you can take that Buffalo game, for example, where there were 3 interceptions that were dropped, and that kind of evened it out from that Patriot game where he had some potential touchdowns dropped. That Patriot game, back in October, he was better than the data showed. The Buffalo game at the end, he was worse than the data showed.
I don't get where you say that he doesn't turn the ball over a lot. And I know you're including fumbles. I'm not including fumbles.
Well, Pat Shurmur said that fumbles are a part of the equation. He mentioned that late last year.
Of course. But when you look at Teddy Bridgewater, because when he played in 2017, 18, and 19, he barely played. And when he played with the Saints, he had a really good team around him. But essentially, when you look at his last 20 games, this guy has thrown 14 interceptions. Over the last 4 years, he has played a total of 20 games. No, I take that back. He has played a total of 30 games. He's played 30 games, and he has thrown, what, 15 interceptions. Yeah. Is that good?
Well, the funny thing is, you talk about like his 4-year form, and that's what I go by. I have a chart that I keep, and it's 4-year rate. His interception rate is a little bit above average. It's one interception every 47.5 attempts. But when you include fumbles in that, that's taking time sack, pass attempts, and rushing attempts, all the plays where you could fumble, and you include that with the interceptions as well, his giveaway rate goes to 9th best in the league. And I'm talking, so it's one every 38.8 plays. And that's the thing that they're looking at. Drew Locke's giveaway rate is one every 23.6. That places him 50th.
No, Locke has a long way to go.
He has a long way to, yeah, he does. But the thing is, what you're asking Locke to do is he's got to jump up. He's got to jump up, make a major jump to be average, because last year he was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right. All right, coming up after the break, the Broncos have waived Deshaun Hamilton. Really a surprise. It's funny, I was driving the car, and I was listening to a sports talk radio station, and somebody said, oh, the Broncos have made a move. And I'm thinking, why do I have a feeling it's Deshaun Hamilton? It is. Any surprise? That's next. Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Come my lady, you're my pretty baby, I'll make your legs shake.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. Listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
All right, I do this all the time with you, Mace. I'm going to ask you a question. I want a quick answer. Because you may know this off the top of your head.
Why do
head.
You want a quick answer? We got time.
Because I don't want you to think about it. Because I know if you think about it,
I like thinking.
You're going. I know, but I'm going to ask you to give me your initial, visceral reaction. It's not going to make you look bad.
This is leading. This is. I feel like
it is leading. Just you
I
could
feel
do
like
that.
You're trying to entrap
you know what?
Me here.
You are more than welcome to ask me questions whenever you want to, and if you want to play this game with me, I'll be more than happy to play along.
I like to leave things open ended for people.
But
that's
I don't.
Okay.
I just want your gut visceral reaction. 2018 draft. The Broncos took 10 players. How many are left? Quick.
I'm going to count.
No. Just give me a number.
Answer my question!
Thank you.
I'll answer the question by going through and saying
they
still have Bradley
Chubb. You got to get all analytical.
Well, no.
Out of 10, how many are left? Quickly. Now you're thinking about it, so it's not even funny.
And actually, here's the thing. When you
it's
say,
not about being right. It's about what your gut reaction.
And here's the other thing. When you say quickly,
yeah.
Then being on the spectrum, I go into a shell, and then I don't want to respond, period.
Oh, you're going to pull the whole I'm on the spectrum card.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
because I know,
see how this
because
works.
I know what works for me and what doesn't.
Okay, I cracked my tooth, and you know what? Maybe my mouth hurts a little bit, and I'm going to say I can't talk today because of that. How's that sound?
Yeah, but I just, no, but seriously, the way I'm wired, I freeze. When someone does that, I freeze up.
Okay, they have 4 players left, and it's going to be 3 after training camp is over, because I don't think Royce Freeman's making this team.
Unless somebody gets hurt.
Exactly. So it's going to be down to 3. So it's Chubb, Sutton, and Josie Jewell, who is serviceable. I think they've been trying to upgrade that position for a while. He's a nice tackler, but he can't cover anybody. He's a nice player. He's a terrific special teams guy. But on most teams, I don't think he would be a starting inside linebacker in a 3-4. Fair to say?
Fair to say.
Okay, with that, they hit it out of the park, but then again, you and I talked about this last week, when you have a top 5 pick and you go defense, not quarterback, chances are you're going to hit. The odds are with you that you're going to hit. And they did with Bradley Chubb. They absolutely hit with Cortland Sutton. Royce Freeman, barring injury to any other running backs, I don't think he makes this team. Yadam, he was gone before he even had a cup of coffee here. Deshaun Hamilton, now gone. Fumagalli, gone. Sam Jones, gone. Keyshawn Barrera, gone. David Williams, gone. Deshaun Hamilton, they waived today. There wasn't really a spot for him, was there?
They waived him, but now when the report came out that he was being waived, I believe it was Mike Garofalo of NFL Network who had it first, then the Broncos, according to Garofalo, the Broncos started getting calls right after that.
Yeah.
So all, this is sort of like in baseball when you see like a post-deadline trade.
Right.
Where you expose them to waivers and then it's pull just to back. See if anyone get calls and then you pull right. them back and then you make a deal. It's not the same exact type of thing, but that's probably what's happening. And look, George Payton, he calls it more darts. He wants more darts in the draft. And this may be as simple as you get a seventh or maybe, if you're lucky, a sixth round pick in next year's draft for Deshaun Hamilton. The value is good. The value is minimal at this point.
No, yeah. I would agree with that.
But could have been different for Deshaun. There was an opportunity. There was a gleam, as late Mark Schottenheimer used to say.
Well, they gave him opportunities.
Week one, 2019. Yeah. Now,
right.
down the stretch in 2018, after Emmanuel Sanders got hurt and Courtland Sutton was still kind of finding his way, Deshaun Hamilton actually was leading the team in receptions in those final four games of 2018. There was a moment where it looked like he might be developing into a nice possession receiver, and they brought him in right. to be a slot receiver. The slot receiver, for him to flourish, has to be reliable, short to intermediate, and has to make the big catches in a thicket of defenders.
Knowing you're going to get thumped.
Right.
Can't alligator arm it.
And week one, 2019, Joe Flacco's first start, Broncos at Raiders. What does Deshaun Hamilton do? Drops a touchdown.
Right.
Gets another chance as the season goes on after he saw his playing time decline. Gets another shot later on. Drew Lock's first start. He's
right.
wide open down the middle.
Yep.
A sure touchdown. Would have clinched the game against the Chargers. Dropped.
It's like the yips. Once yeah. it's in your head, and you know, we saw the same thing with Jerry Jeudy, but then again, what did Jerry Jeudy have in common with Deshaun Hamilton coming into the draft in 2018 as Penn State's all-time leading receiver at the time?
Two words. Route runner.
Great route runner. That's three words. Unless you use a hyphen, that could be two.
Well, I just said route runner because that's what he was known for. Known for
Jerry
running.
Jeudy. Running great.
Very good
you
routes.
Know what? Would you rather have a guy who's a great route runner, who gets open all the time but drops passes, or a guy who's a terrible route runner who can always catch the ball in traffic? I'll take the second guy.
Yeah. And that's where Deshaun Hamilton stands. I mean, he saw a decent amount of playing time last year, started twice, had actually both of his good games last year were against the Chargers. Aside from that, not much there. And then you just start stacking it up. You get Courtland Sutton back. Tim Patrick was what they wanted Deshaun Hamilton to be.
Right.
Catch monster. Reliable.
Yep.
Tim Patrick basically filled that role. Sort of like how back when you had C.J. Anderson and Monte Ball coming in the same year, C.J. Anderson basically became what they wanted Monte Ball to be.
Right.
And sometimes that's what happens, that you have a guy that you have hopes for, but then it's the undrafted guy who does better. You could say that even though Philip Lindsay is gone now, Lindsay is what they wanted Royce Freeman to be.
Did you see what Philip Lindsay put out on Twitter?
No.
When the Broncos drafted Javonte Williams?
Oh, I heard about it, but I didn't recall.
It was like, it wasn't like an emoji, like a laugh emoji or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what, Philip, move on. You were terrific here. Everybody loved you. You had some arrogance to you. Honestly, you thought you better than you were. I hate to say it. I'm not trying to piss on somebody's grave here, but at the end of the day, Philip Lindsay thought he was all that. He did. He did.
He's more than a lot of people. A couple of thousand yard seasons, the Pro Bowl season. A lot of running backs don't reach that
point. No, I thought he was terrific.
Yeah.
But I think his attitude bothered me. I think his attitude was great in the locker room. I think he was a rah-rah guy. He worked hard, overachiever, love all that stuff. I just think that in his rookie season, he got a little full of himself. Got a little full of himself.
Can happen to guys.
I don't know if I could do an interview today. I don't know. I don't know. Dude, you were undrafted. You had a really nice first season. That's great. Do what Courtland Sutton does. Talks to the media. Bradley Chubb talks to the media all the time.
Yeah, but...
Courtland, not as much, but Bradley does.
Courtland, though, was headed down a little bit of a shaky path with dealing with the media
right.
before Sanders got traded.
Right.
Frankly, Emmanuel Sanders being around Courtland Sutton,
yep.
it was not good for Courtland Sutton.
Won't disagree.
And then Sanders gets dealt, and we started seeing the Sutton that SMU people talked about that we saw right when the Broncos drafted him, and then everything was smooth sailing from there.
Every undrafted guy, no matter how much success they have, should take a page out of Chris Harris's book. Always be humble. Mm-hmm. Always be accessible. Chris Harris was that guy, even until the end with all those Pro Bowls. And Phillip, I don't know, nice guy, but always didn't really seem to have time for you.
Chris always had time.
Yep, he sure did.
Even though, like, he said some things that the Broncos probably didn't want him to say.
Yep.
And he could be, he had sometimes a sharp edge to him. But the thing is, he earned that sharp edge. He earned that by going out and playing well and working his tail off for all those years. He earned the right to have a little bit of a jagged edge to him.
Yeah, I would agree.
But he always made time for the media.
What do you have? What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
The Colorado Avalanche will be playing their final game of the regular season this evening. Also, the Denver Nuggets, their third to last game of the season. We'll preview both those games coming up after the break, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, mileysports.com. Listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver at Eric Goodman. Wholesale lumber to the public. Yep, they got it. RMFP.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Denver Nuggets are in Minnesota this evening taking on the Timberwolves. That game's set to tip off just around 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time when our show finishes up here. MPJ is going to sit this game out to rest. Jokic likely playing limited minutes.
Yep.
Should MPJ be the most improved player in the NBA this year?
Honestly, if full disclosure here, I don't have the NBA league pass, but MPJ has been unbelievable this year. Show me a guy who's been better. I'd like to see who that guy is.
He's not the favorite, though. Julius Randle's the favorite.
Julius Randle's had a year.
And
Julius Randle has had a year.
Right now, looking at the odds on most improved player, I believe this is over at DraftKings, it's Julius Randle, then Jeremy Grant, then MPJ. Jeremy Grant is box score improved.
Correct.
Julius Randle, I think, is more legit, and it's going to be tough for MPJ to be better than second place in that honor.
By the way, Mike Malone, talking to the media right now, he was asked about Will Barton and PJ Dozier. He says that he doesn't expect either guy back before the playoffs, but Barton is closer in a return than Dozier, and you really need Dozier out there to cover Dame Lillard mm-hmm. if indeed that is your first round matchup against Portland.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, Portland and Dallas both won last night, Portland winning at Utah, because Utah's secured its seeding.
Correct.
And the Blazers have the Suns tonight, and the Suns are basically locked in at the two.
Right.
So don't expect the Blazers to lose tonight either, even though it's the second of a back-to-back.
Just in case you missed it, the Colorado Avalanche hosting the LA Kings for their final game of the regular season this evening at 7 p.m. The Avs clinched the President's Cup with the win tonight. Any predictions for tonight's game? And do you think that the number one seed does them any benefit over the number two?
I'd like to chime in first on this. Jared Bednar has pulled all the right levers this year. I just hope he does not regret sitting Grubauer tonight. And that costs them home ice throughout the playoffs. I understand why McKinnon's not playing.
Yes.
But if Grubauer's ready to go, I don't know, maybe you start Grubauer. If you win tonight's game, your first game is on Monday. If you lose tonight's game and don't win the President's Cup, your first game is on Sunday. Grubauer's going to have plenty of rest. I hope we don't look back and say Grubauer should have played. Listen, the Kings have already mailed it in. They lost 6-0. They got scorched. So I'm sure they've already started making their tee times days ago.
Do you think it makes a difference, the fact that you win tonight, you get the Blues, you lose tonight, you get the Wild?
The only thing that's going to slow down the Avalanche are two things. Vegas, if it gets to that round, being more physical and pushing around the Avs, that's number one. And number two, the Avs. If they play like they should play, they should make a very deep run.
That's fair. I would say this, that maybe Avs fans get the willies a little bit more about the Wild than they do the Blues, just kind of given the history between the clubs, but it's all about this year. The Avs have a better team than the Wild. That being said, for the extra day alone, you'd rather have St. Louis. Rather win and get the Blues.
There are certain guys on certain teams in any sport that you don't want to face in the playoffs because they always seem to raise their level. Mm-hmm. Stone, the captain for Vegas. Dude, that guy's a player. He is a player. And Ryan O'Reilly for the Blues, he is a player, if anybody remembers him. He always seems to lift his game.
Nolan is nodding
his head because he's a big Blues fan.
And that's sort of the one thing that if you go against the Blues, you go against, even though they have not been anywhere close to where they were when they won the cup a couple of years ago, there are still enough guys there who have the roadmap, who know how to turn it up. And that is the risk that you run if you end up playing the Blues.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, Vegas is the competition.
Right.
No question about it. Because I think everybody really wants to see that matchup. Mark Stone, that guy's so good.
I mean, it would be a great...
So good. And you know what? You know what? His numbers aren't great. 55 games, 61 points. I mean, it certainly doesn't look anything like Connor McDavid. But that guy's a player. And if you haven't really watched him, that guy is a player. All right, that was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. If you're planning on getting any type of appliances, you want to work with the sales staff that can help you get what you want. You're going to have a lot of questions. Go with somebody who has the answers. Talking about Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can find their clearance center in Denver. And remember, you can try before you buy. You can try out any appliance before you buy it. Coming up after the break, CBSSports.com did a very interesting article. Would you like to explain what that was all about? Or maybe not. Did I catch you off guard?
You caught me off guard because
I'm going to blame being on the spectrum on me again?
No, I'm going to blame the fact that I didn't have the window open with the outline. But
take the U-porn off your Safari. Ha, ha, ha.
I was actually looking at Michael Malone's stuff in the press conference. But according to CBSSports.com, a player who benefited from the draft of the Broncos had is Aaron Rodgers, even though he's not currently on the roster. Why?
What does that mean, Mace?
We're going to tell you on the other side, Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mace, Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, MileHighSports.com, worldwide.